I'm Risa Williams, and this is The Motivation Mindset. And today we have a special episode of the show called The Time Lab. And this is an expert edition where I invite back former guests to the show to try out tools and report the results. Joining me today are former guests Trevor Stockwell, a leadership coach, Erica Curtis, a frequent guest to the show and co-host, a fellow author and therapist, Ezra Werb, an educational therapist, and Chigofasu Endemane, a writer and PR strategist. They tried out a couple tools for a week, and let's see how they did. So thank you, everyone, for joining me today. We have a special episode of The Time Lab featuring guest experts who have previously been on the show. And I'm so excited to welcome them all. They all have such amazing insight and wisdom to share. So we have Trevor Stockwell joining us all the way from the UK. We have Erica Curtis, who is a frequent guest co-host, and she's in California. And we have Ezra Werb, who was on one of the first episodes of the show, coming all the way from Boston. And we have Chigofasu Endemane all the way from Johannesburg. So thank you, everyone, for being here today.
Hey, Risa.
Cool to be here.
I know for some of us.
Thanks for having me.
It's early morning, and for some of you, it's evening, and we're all over the map. But I really appreciate you joining me. Today, we're talking about habit stacking. And that was a tool introduced to me by James Clear in his book, Atomic Habits. And Trevor Stockwell's here. We just did a whole episode on habits and how to build new ones. And we talked about habit stacking and what sometimes goes wrong. So I asked all of you to try habit stacking for 3 days straight. And this is where you're taking an existing habit and one that already has a neural pathway formed in your brain. You're already doing it. And you're trying to tag on a new habit that you're adding. So Trevor, I'm excited to hear from you because we talked about this, but it's a lot different when you try it out for yourself, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's really powerful when we make it work for ourselves. We benefit. But it's really powerful to get into, and it's worth persevering. If you try it and you kind of struggle and you don't feel you get much traction on it the first few days or whatever, just persevere. And it will eventually become a habit. It's really good. Do you want me to tell you a little bit about one of those that I stacked recently?
Yeah. So what did you try? And what was the original habit and what did you try to stack on?
So the original habit is usually I'm first up in the house. So I sit and have breakfast myself. It's my sort of quiet time to collect my thoughts, focus on what I want to do. I do that every day, generally round about the same time. And I've recently been asked to help co-lead a team of volunteers. So it needs quite a bit of effort and input to sort of get some connections with the relationships built, get the healthy team environment, that sort of stuff. And I know that if I'm not intentional about it, I will try and fit in thinking about what we need to do next around the other stuff, and I'm going to get reactionary, and I don't want to be like that. So I thought, right, 5 minutes ish a day is flexible, but I'm going to give 5 minutes that when I sit down and have coffee or food, whatever it is, I'm going to think through what's the next step that I can take with a conversation, with something that needs communicating, that's going to strengthen and sort of progress developing the team. And it just gives me that thinking space to just jot down ideas. I always have a pad or something nearby to capture ideas, and linking those two things together really helps, because I'm already sort of still, and it's just another, right, I can add an extra sort of few minutes thinking to give myself some ideas. I also have a tactile cue, so I have like the lanyard that we wear when we're on team. Just sometimes I hold it and it just helps me focus on the team members, what is it that we want to achieve. It's a practical thing, but it's really powerful. And already I've sort of got some inspiration and different things that I want to change, or just a different way of seeing certain aspects. So it's been really helpful. So I'm definitely going to keep doing that.
Okay. So you took a few minutes every time to just sit there and jot down your ideas. And I like this tactile cue thing. You brought that up in our last talk together. Talk to me a little bit about how people can incorporate that.
We're very visual people, aren't we? One way or another. We like looking at different things that remind us of stuff, or just things that are nice to look at, paintings or whatever. And for me, something practical that's easy, is portable. So if I'm out and about somewhere and I want to sit and think about stuff, I can just sort of grab hold of something. Our mind wanders, doesn't it? One way or another. Like if we choose to sort of just sit quiet and close our eyes, our mind can go off in lots of different places. So you can close your eyes, but if you're holding something that helps you just sort of stay focused, I find it really useful.
Yeah, I'm kind of reminded of old movies or old cartoons when people used to wear a string around their finger, right, to remember something. And I know you said that your mom had something like that, where she would leave something out that was unusual and then tell you, hey, this is to remind you. So that's kind of fun, is to build in a random association with something we can see. Ezra, how about you? How did habit stacking go for you?
Swimmingly. Went very well.
Okay.
It was a very important one for me specifically, but I do think most people probably struggle with this, which is drinking enough water.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have a water bottle that I carry around with me. It's not nearly big enough, and whatever routines and habits I've tried to create with it, it has not worked. Oh, and also just to give you a little bit of background, I have a history of kidney stones. So,
you really have to drink water.
This is ultra important for me. So what I did was, so I kind of stacked two separate things. One was before my nightly routine, filling up a glass of water before heading up to the room to go to bed and putting that right next to my bed, so that when my morning routine starts, which I'm pretty meticulous, I work at a middle to high school. So I have to like be up at a very specific time and get to work, you know, so I have a very strict morning routine. So now what I just stacked the glass of water just to right before I fully get up to go do my morning routine, I just down the glass of water.
Okay. And so you did. So your habit stacking was before you go to bed, get the water, so that in the morning when your brain is tired, you remember to drink the water.
So basically I stacked twice. The prep of the water and then right when I wake up. It seems so simple and so just like, of course, that's an obvious thing to do. But for me, it worked immediately, and I can already see that is now in my routine.
That's
after
great.
3 days, it's totally integrated. And what I now need to do is spin that off to the rest of my day and figure out how I can stack that bottle of water that I carry around with me to specific either times of day or other habits or other parts of my routine, because that worked perfectly. So if I can just figure out how to continuously do that, I think I'll be in business.
Yeah. What I like about that is I think Eric and I, and some of you, I've talked about this idea of when our brains are tired and when we have low energy, how do we prep our brains so that we can be in a good state to do the thing? And I think you did that perfectly, Ezra, which is in the morning, you're tired. You often forget to drink the water. So we're kind of predicting that and setting ourselves up for success. And you work with kids on this, right? This is part of your job, is building in these types of skills and habits. It's funny, though, when we try to do it ourselves.
It's for sure. I mean, you know, working with middle and high schoolers, the number one thing is doing homework.
Yeah.
And what, you know, going through this sort of exercise myself reminds me to think about that sort of executive function. What we're all doing through habit stacking is kind of circumventing your executive functioning or boosting it to help yourself, you know, make those sorts of connections and to spark your own behaviors. Yeah, it was a good exercise both for me personally, because now I have a, you know, wake up, drink water routine, but also to think about, you know, my students and how I can possibly, you know, advise them homework wise in this way.
Yeah, like how do we cue up our brain that it's homework time? Is there a way we can use this learning from what we did on our own, right, to help people who maybe they're tired and they're not in the right mindset? Like, how do we cue up our brain to do the next thing is a good question. Erica.
Well, I was going to speak really quickly, Ezra. You're inspiring me for a couple of reasons. One, I will also attest to the difficulty of training yourself to drink water. I think it actually, I did not use habit stacking. So maybe I would have gotten there faster had I. But it probably took me about a year to train myself to drink one large bottle of water. And, you know, one thing that I figured out for myself was that I had to buy two bottles, because when I used one bottle and then it was dirty because I was tired and didn't want to wash it in the evening, in the morning, I didn't want to have to wash the bottle. I didn't have time. And then I just wouldn't drink water.
So you had two prepared at once.
I bought a second bottle. Actually, I should have two bottles every day. We'll work up to maybe I'll start habit stacking that one now. But I had a second bottle for the next day so that I didn't have to wash the first. So I had two bottles on rotation. So then I always had a clean bottle. So
right.
It took me a year to figure that out, right?
So it's like a rotation. You're just constantly filling one up, but then there's always one available. I like that idea.
There's always one available.
It's but like, yeah. What are the little steps that make it a tiny bit easier on your brain, right? So you don't resist I got to do that other step.
The other thing that's interesting is, you know, my motivation to avoid kidney stones cannot possibly be higher. And yet, that hasn't been enough for me to completely change this habit. You know, it's very telling.
And yeah.
Use more practical approaches like this. It's okay that the motivation isn't pushing me to do it if I can, you know, compensate for it with these methods that seem to be more effective since memory of the
pain
experience. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Cause maybe it's so distant and it's so like in the future. We need things that are just motivating us in the now a little bit more.
Well, and talking about how this then links, for example, to homework motivation. You know, one thing that I didn't even realize that I do is when my kids get home from school, I say, get your homework out, put it on the table.
Right? Yeah.
And then they can go and play or have a break. So it's almost like prepping it. It's like it's out now. It's laid out.
Right.
And then they can go take a break, have a snack. And then it's okay. It's like time to sit down. And there's not that same transition time where they get sidetracked five times on their way to their backpack to get their homework out of their backpack. It's not on the table. So it's not go get your homework. Where are you? Wait, where did you go? Why aren't you your homework? Why are you in your room now? Where did you, right? What are you doing? But it's already on the table. It's just a straight from the backyard to the table, sit down. Ah, now we can get going. So
that's so funny you're saying that because I do the same thing with my kids. I have the same instinct. Like we have to put it out, but I'm not going to tell you to do it right now. I want you to manage that on your own, but it's sitting there now on the table. And
which
it's that idea.
A visual cue, which it's Trevor a visual, was talking about.
Exactly. Because if we can see it, we might do it. And I know Shiga Fasu, your habit stacking that you were telling me about before had a visual cue as well.
I just want to say first that I'm finding this really interesting because I love that the habits we're talking about are actually things that are supposedly simple. So like drinking enough water.
Or writing notes.
We all know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or writing, like it's stuff that we know like is probably good. Like, well, not even probably, like it's definitely good for us, but you know. So I love that we're acknowledging that even the simplest or most important habits are also easy to kind of, or are a little bit difficult to actually just get into and just run with.
Yeah. It's good to normalize that, right? Because people listening might just be trying to stack really like intense or challenging things, but even just regular everyday things to get yourself to remember to do them consistently can be a real struggle for all of us at times.
Mm, no, definitely. And I think this was the thing with mine, because mine is about taking supplements, and it's not even just like non-important, it's supplements that I actually need to be taking. Like we're going into the winter, it's getting a little bit colder. So I mean, I've been taking walks every morning for a couple of years now. So it's a relatively, like it's a well-established habit that I've got going. But what I wasn't doing was actually creating the visual cue for myself. So I wouldn't necessarily pull out my clothes the night before or anything like that. But when I started thinking about adding my supplements to the walk was, okay, well, I'm going to need some place to put the supplements. I know if I leave them in my little medicine cabinet, like I will forget, and that's why I have not been taking them. So I then was prompted to start prepping my walking clothes and put them out in the mornings and place my supplements right there with them. And so that's kind of what helped. And I also realized that because it is getting a little bit more chilly, it's getting a little bit harder to wake up in the mornings for the walks. So I'm just like, it's a little bit cold. Like, do I, you know, like I'm starting to get that little inkling now. But when everything is already ready and prepared, I'm just like, you know what? It's going to be like, I literally just need to put my feet on the ground and I'm practically on my way already. So it's been great because as soon as I come back in and I pull the shoes off, my supplements are right there waiting. And it helps because I also do then have my little glass of water to go along with them. I'm seeing you talking about hydrating. So
you have
really,
like a double visual cue, the clothes and the vitamins. And that's like paving the way for our brains. You got to do these two things and then you're done. And I talked to so many clients who have trouble with vitamins and supplements and remembering to take things. I just think because, like you said, we tend to bury them in the cabinet somewhere and it's just not on our minds. And then the days go by and you're like, oh, I totally forgot to do that because I never opened that cabinet. So so that works out great if you can make that first step prep, as I call it, where you're putting it in front of you and then you're noticing it. And it's great if it's two things, because then you know you're going to do one and then the other one's right there. So interesting. I like that. Erica, talk to me about what you tried.
Yeah, I had an interesting experience because, you know, as soon as you invited us to do this experiment, right, I sort of immediately started thinking about, okay, let's do this. And this is a while ago. I mean, maybe like a month ago, would you
say?
So I've actually had the experience now of sort of moving in and out of the habit and then having to reset again, was stretching and using my foam roller on my back, because I have a lot of really tight muscles on my back and my upper shoulders, which I don't think is unusual for a lot of folks. And having a foam roller, I mean, one, that is kept in a drawer. And so taking it out and putting it in a basket where I could visually see it, the habit stacking is, you know, in the evening, a lot of times I will watch a movie with my husband, right? Well, not a whole movie. We never can stay awake long enough to watch a whole movie.
I'm there with you. It's taken me like weeks and months to finish one Netflix episode.
Exactly. But we'll put it on, you know, maybe 30 minutes and it'll just take us a while to get through it. But 30 minutes is enough time, right? Rather than collapsing on the floor, collapsing on the couch. So I thought, well, I could start stretching, right? This is something I've been wanting to do for a really long time. I've done it. And I thought, this is so good for me. You know, that again, like you were saying, Ezra, that the willing yourself to do it, like, yeah, I really want to do this. This is so good for me. It's, you know, it's so healthy. And then not doing it over and over for years. So I thought, okay, this is the opportunity. I like a challenge. And so even that's kind of motivating for me to say, okay, let me, when I'm, if I'm sitting down to watch television, I'm going to stretch, I'm going to foam roll, right? And doing that for a period of time. And then noticing that, you know, I started to not do it and started to just collapse on the floor. And just the other day, I noticed that the foam roller that I had put it away in the drawer again.
You hid it from yourself.
I hid it from myself.
It's funny how we do subconscious things like that. We're like, done with this habit.
And I don't remember. I think I was maybe opening the drawer. And see, that so the drawer is right underneath the television, too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a hybrid, you know, like office space / guest room / TV room /
Right.
So one of the drawers, I keep the foam roller and some other things. And I had opened the drawer and I was like, my foam roller, I haven't been doing it.
So you started again. So I think Trevor and I talked about that too, how sometimes people get off track.
Yes.
You know, how we let our brains kind of drift off, right, Trevor? And then it's hard to start again. But maybe, Erica, the lesson was like just becoming more mindful of it, right? I mean, maybe that's kind of interesting to watch your brain do that and in a light way and kind of notice, like, we do tend to latch on to things because we get that dopamine hit, but then it kind of fades away and then we have to reinstate it somehow.
That's right. Because I think you're absolutely right. Because the novelty of the sort of task or the challenge and your invitation to do this, I was like, yeah, I can do that.
Right? I have to report it to somebody. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you have the accountability of people like, how did it go? Right.
And I think you're right. I think that actually the putting away of the foam roller, it was actually like picking up a bunch of stuff off, you know, like my kids' stuff, the piano books that my daughter had thrown on the floor, the foam roller, like I was just picking stuff up and putting it all away so I could vacuum.
Yeah.
It was just sort of magically gone.
Your efficient brain had just, it was that battle with the habit brain, you know, like...
Okay, good. The floor is clean.
Yeah. So maybe it is about naming it, you know, like intentionally naming it, like this is my cue.
This and, is my cue. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's the helpful piece to take away from that. I know when Trevor and I talked, it takes about 21 days, they say, but I'd say anywhere from 1 month to 2 months of doing the same thing for your brain to just accept it. And then suddenly you're just doing it on autopilot. And it seems like Ezra, you managed to speed that up somehow with the water, like it just clicked and now you're doing it.
Yeah, I think there is a part of it that is there's something very, I don't know, visual and tactile about it. This seems crazy, but just grabbing the glass before I head upstairs, filling it up at our water from our water pitcher, putting it on the nightstand next to my bed. There's something about the whole
rhythm of it.
The rhythm and the visual quality and the tactile quality, it just all clicked really easily.
Yeah. Yeah. And in your own life, have you noticed that some things stick right away and then other things it's like you really have to kind of fight that comfort zone feeling and get yourself into the habit a little bit more over time for it to stick?
Well, I'm going to be conscious of it now, which is why I think this sort of exercise is really important and helpful, is that I'm now going to start seeing things like this through that lens.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how the success of this can help propel me towards finding this sort of success in other, you know, avenues that I want to change. So,
right.
So I'll keep you posted.
Okay. Well, it's all about navigating our own brains and getting more honest with ourselves about our own process. And like Erica said, you know, kind of like making it come to the front of our minds more, the more conscious part of our brain, where we're noticing, oh, that's funny. I did that. Oh, I kind of slipped off that habit. How do I restart it? Or do I even want to? Is this something I actually want to do? And I know, Trevor, you and I have talked about intention. Right? Going back to the intention of why did I want to do this in the first place?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the, if you can keep that, you know, what was it about me setting up the habit that I really wanted to achieve, or how did I want to feel by doing whatever it was?
Yeah.
If you can keep that in mind, it helps, I think, to stay on track. I also find sometimes the challenge is the visual cue, the triggers that we have. We get used to seeing them, or we get used to living sort of around them. And then suddenly, if we've not ingrained the habit enough, we just walk past it and forget. So we have to sort of be creative sometimes. I don't know, maybe have the same cue, but move it to a different place every week. Or just when you suddenly realize, actually, I'm not taking as much notes as I did before. I mean, obviously, the cue is not the thing. The habit is what you want to establish. But the more you're aware of what is the trigger, what's the cue, and am I really taking any notice of it? So I was just thinking, Ezra, maybe you could have an extra glass of water put somewhere else as almost like a fail safe, that if you get used to it, you've got sort of plan B, if you like, as an option. I don't know, something like that. Just
right.
It mixes up the routine of just seeing everything we see regular becomes familiar, doesn't it? And we just forget. But we see it really a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's so true. I think I shared this story on another episode, but we used to live in a place where I had to move the car because of street cleaning. And I had a post-it on the front door that said, move car on Thursday. And it worked for like 2 weeks. And then all of us stopped reading the post-it. Like it was still on the door. And I was getting tickets because my brain literally didn't see the bright pink post-it right in front of my face. And that's exactly what Trevor's saying, is our brain overrides visual cues. It's like, oh yeah, that's just part of the door. I don't even see the note to myself on the door.
My daughter the other day, so I have a visual cue list for my kids' nighttime routine so that I don't have to micromanage them. So I go check your list, right? So they have, you know, self-care, they have prep for school, and they have their chores. And these are the things they need to do every evening. But my daughter has stopped
reading it.
Pictures. She's just, because we've had these for so many years since the kids were little. And I was, you know, with the hope that they would, you know, eventually not need it. But what's happened somewhat is that she goes and looks at it and she goes, yep, I did it all. I go, no, you haven't. So she ran the other day all by herself, grabbed a piece of paper and wrote really big, floss teeth, and taped it above the visual, because that was the one she kept missing. And so all of her own, she, you know, what you're talking about, the post-it, she just wasn't seeing that cue anymore, that visual cue to floss her teeth. So she made her own sign and taped it up on the door.
That's funny.
So I think maybe what I should do is every couple of weeks have her go and, you know, maybe write it on a different color or something.
Yeah, or even print it in different font. And you and I have talked about color cues and this kind of thing. So maybe it's about just keeping it fresh for your brain. Like whatever that dopamine hit that got you going, you know, we have to keep playing around with it so our brain sees it as new and challenging and a little bit fun too, to keep doing this habit. So thank you everyone so much for all your insight. I hope everyone listening out there gets inspired to try that new habit you've been avoiding starting. And maybe these are some ways to get you inspired to move forward with it. Thanks everybody so much for joining me today.
Thanks everybody.
Thank you, Risa. Thank you so much, Risa. Lovely talking to everyone.
Thanks very much.
To learn more about tools discussed on the show, please click on the show notes to find out about guests and references discussed here, and also check out my books at theultimatetoolkitbooks.com, including the Ultimate Self-Esteem Toolkit, which is in stores now. To learn more about upcoming episodes, please visit risawilliams.com or follow me at risawilliamstherapy on Instagram to find out about future book giveaways and episodes. I'm Risa Williams, and we're out of time for today. Thanks for listening.